Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Guberti.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I'm very excited about this show. We are going to discuss the audiobook revolution with our guest, Richard Riemann. Richard teaches authors how they can create audiobooks, and he's an Audible-approved audiobook narrator. He also educates authors on the expanding world of audio and how audiobooks are, believe it or not, more profitable than ebooks. And now, I know you really want to know about this whole audiobook revolution thing, so it is my pleasure to welcome Richard to the show. Thanks for stopping by, Richard.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be here.
My pleasure. I always like to start every interview by asking people what got them started. So, Richard, I ask you, what specifically got you hooked on this whole audiobook revolution?
Well, it started, I was in broadcasting and radio news for over 30 years at ABC and NBC Radio in Chicago and anchoring at the RKO Radio Network in New York. So I was comfortable in front of a microphone telling stories. I got into voiceover, doing commercials, documentaries, that type of thing. But what I found out I really loved was audiobooks. I loved telling stories, all different genres, nonfiction, fiction. I've done over 100 audiobooks now and gotten into producing them for authors. So I'm not just the voice of the audiobooks. I serve as a producer, either in studio, bringing authors in to record their own works, or finding a narrator for them.
So when you first got started with audiobooks and you've had this background as a broadcast, but now you want to expand into audiobooks, what exactly were you thinking at that time when you were just getting started with this audiobook revolution?
Well, the challenge really was that my first voice acting teacher said, "Now, you know, you sound really good reading out loud. But that has nothing to do with voiceover. It's like having a nice voice. It's acting. Just sounding good is not enough. You actually have to learn how to bring the words to life, how to bring characters to life, how to do accents, how to do six different aliens if they want you to do a science fiction story. So if you're going to get into audiobooks, you have to learn all of these things."
So for the fiction books and even for like some nonfiction books, like the story based, it's not just reading content on the paper. It's about understanding what that content means and understanding the characters. Is there a lot of research that you do in advance, or do you just read the or listen to the audiobook first and then you know what to say later?
Well, you read the book first, obviously. That is critical. And I take notes because I want to know if the character has a Boston accent, or the character has an Irish accent, or it's a cowboy, or, you know, what type of voice it's going to be for each character. Are they German and they talk like this up here? Are they Russian and they talk like this down here? You have to do your research, and as I get prepared to do a book, I will record pieces of each voice so that I know when they show up in chapter 2 and then again in chapter 38 that I have the same voice. And, you know, there are some tricks that you can use, you know, kind of same voices. One common voice I have that I use almost every book is my what I call my wizard voice, where it's based on Harry Potter. When you go into the wand store and, you know, "Harry, so good to see you. You know, I sold your parents their wands." And I've been able to use that voice, for instance, in a children's book. "Once upon a time, there was a fairy who had but one tooth." And I've also used the same voice and kind of twisted it for a horror story I did called The Incurables, where it was, I'm Dr. Walter Freeman, and I perform lobotomies. Don't worry, I use a hammer and ice pick, but there's hardly any pain at all. So you'd basically come up with, you know, voices you can use in a variety of situations.
I originally thought that the big part of it was going to be getting the clients, but you also have to act out all these different characters and do all this research. And it's a lot of work to embrace what you have embraced. And I understand that you love it and that's why you have fun doing it. But within any journey, there are several low points. And I'm wondering, what was the low point in your journey that you faced throughout your audiobook revolution?
Well, the biggest challenge of any small business, and that's what you are, you're a small businessman when you start out doing any type of freelance work, is finding the clients. And the real challenge was, there's Amazon's Audiobook Creation Exchange, ACX, which has been set up to really put together authors with narrators. And they post books and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of audiobook narrators will apply for each book. So it's a challenge to get work in the audiobook field. So that, you know, I learned very quickly that only doing, you know, one book every couple of months was not going to be a full-time profession, which is what I wanted to make it. I have to do, you know, at least two books a month in order to make it a profitable business. So I went out and basically said, okay, how do I meet authors? I'm in Denver. I joined every author meetup group in Denver. The Author University Group, the My Word Publishing Group, the Colorado Authors League, the Colorado Book Publishers Association. So joined all of these and had a chance to meet authors face to face, explain what I do, and that's the way I found out that I could not just narrate, but also consult and become an author myself. And that was the critical step that took me from, you know, the beginner level to the more advanced level, using my experience as a reporter to interview the top people in the field and create a book out of it called The Author's Guide to Audiobook Creation. The book came out this year, and the book has done extremely well. It won the gold medal award in the ebook awards, global ebook awards this year for writing and publishing. So it's been received very well, and I've gotten a continuing stream of business from that.
You know, interviewing the top people in industries, I mean, that sounds really familiar based on what I'm doing now.
Yeah, it helps.
It definitely really helps. So one thing you mentioned that really attracted my attention was you attended all of these meetups with all these influential authors in your local area. And my brother in particular is looking for more networking events, and he's making that one of his priorities. So I'm wondering, how exactly did you find all these events that you were able to connect with all of these authors? Did you like Google them? Did you like see them in a newspaper? How did you find these events?
Yeah, you really Google, you know, start with meetup.com, of course, for whatever industry, whatever occupation you're looking to find these experts in. And to just broaden your knowledge base by actually meeting people, getting offline, getting out there in the real world. So many audiobook narrators, so many people in any profession think they can just have online relationships and see their business grow from there. It really doesn't work that way. You still have to get out, go to meetings, go to events, meet people. They don't all have to be major expensive conventions. Just go to, you know, places where people are reading their books. For instance, there's a book bar, as it's called, and Tattered Cover here in Denver, and authors read their works there. So I go there and I listen to the authors read their works, and I say, I'm an audiobook narrator. Can I help you make an audiobook out of that book? So that's a great source of business too.
And how many of these events do you usually go to in a given month?
Oh, I'm at least one a week. I try to make it, you know, just part of my weekly routine to go to either a meetup, a formal meeting of authors, and you know, go to conventions now and then. I went to the Women Writing the West convention in Santa Fe. All, you know, basically women who write Western genre novels. And out of that, I got, you know, probably 8 books to record. And I did a presentation there about the audiobook revolution and how it's exploding right now.
Okay, this is the last question I'll ask in like relationship to like meeting up with people, but you mentioned getting 8 clients from one event, and a lot of people who go to events, they feel lucky if they're able to build a relationship with one person. How did you approach getting 8 clients? Like, were you the speaker there, or did you network one by one?
Well, and that event, I was actually speaking on the topic, and the topic was the audiobook revolution. So I had a chance to present to a standing room only group of authors and relate directly to them. And because it was a convention situation, I was there for 2 days. So I had the time to meet people one-on-one after the presentation and create relationships, not just hand out business cards, but to say, you know, tell me about your book and take notes about it. And you know, I can help you, but you're looking for a female voice for your book. Obviously, I'm not going to do an entire book in a female voice. I can find a female narrator for you. So that's the type of thing I was able to do in that particular instance.
Okay, we're going to shift gears right now into narrators who they want to make a big splash in the audiobook revolution. They want to get more clients, and you've already said a lot of great things about going out and networking. But what advice do you have for narrators who want to make this big splash and attract a greater variety of clients?
Okay, well, the basics are, take voice acting lessons, and really there are some great organizations and people out there. Edge Studio in Atlanta is one place that has a lot of resources. Go to acx.com. They have in their producer section a lot of information and videos about how to get started in the audiobook narration business, what kind of equipment you need to have, because you can't sound like you're, you know, talking in a bathroom with the echo going on. You can't, you know, record into your phone. You need some professional equipment so that you sound your best. You should put together an audition reel, samples of books, even if you haven't done those books yourself. Put together a good sample, a variety of perhaps, you know, nonfiction, different fiction genres. If you're male, you know, how do you do a female voice? If you're female, how do you do a male voice? Knowing that you don't, you know, oh, women don't sound like this. You know, it's much more subtle than that. It's, hi, John, how are you? You know, just basically changing the tone of your voice and playing the person, not, you know, a gender. And you need to learn all these things so that you're confident when you see the words on the page that you can bring them to life. You learn the proper pacing, that in most cases, when you read audiobooks, you're reading a little slower, perhaps, than you would if you were talking in a conversation. And because, you know, people are multitasking when they listen to audiobooks. They're not sitting there listening. They are doing something. You know, they are working. They are driving. They are doing something else at the same time, usually, that your voice is in their head. So you need to learn all of these things as you start out. And if you want to become more successful, it's a great idea to go to the Audio Publishers Association conventions, although there's some expense involved. Yeah, it goes, this year it's in New York, so you can imagine what that will set you back. But there are also Voice Over Atlanta. There are other events nationally you can join. Join the ACX Narrators Group on Facebook. ACX Narrators and Producers, I believe, is the exact name of the group. And there's a tremendous amount of helpful information in their facts section. And people will help you, your colleagues will help you advance in the industry.
So once you get the good voice for doing these audiobooks and you're getting clients, there are narrators who are wondering, how exactly do I deal with all these clients? Because if you keep on getting clients, then you're going to have to keep on doing audio. So I was just wondering, how exactly do you approach narrating an audiobook, and what does your work schedule look like when you're narrating those audiobooks?
Well, you know, as we talked about, I do prep. Everybody does book prep. You have to read the book, take notes about the different characters and you know, what they probably will sound like, so you're able to ask questions of the author, get pronunciations of names and places and you know, strange words that especially science fiction, if they've thrown just made up a vocabulary, how do you pronounce you know, some strange odd you know, interplanetary word. So you have to do your homework. And then when I sit down to record, my routine is I spend 4 hours a day in my home recording studio. I have a whisper room booth, a 5x7 booth that I record in. And I try to have the discipline to schedule those times in the booth every day. I've gotten to the point where I can afford to pay audio editors at a local studio here in Denver to edit my books for me, because it takes about three times amount of time to edit than it does just to record if you're doing it well. And by editing, I mean taking out, you know, retakes, taking out loud breaths, clicks, mouth noises, you know, overly long pauses, that type of thing. Plus, it's great if you have an outside editor. They will catch things you might not have caught while you were recording it. And there are some techniques to speed up the recording process. One called punch and roll, where you actually, when you make a mistake, go back automatically and punch in and pick up where you left off seamlessly with practice. Some people use a clicker, like a dog clicker, if they make a mistake, and go click, click, because it shows up on the audio wave where exactly the mistakes are and where your retakes are. That speeds up the editing process. So all of these things will help you, but it really takes the discipline, as in any business, to sit down and have set times to record. You know, my voice, you know, some people can record 6 hours a day. I find that 4 hours a day is usually my limit before I start getting a little raspy.
So the audiobook revolution benefits two people. And for basically this entire interview, so far we've talked about the narrator, but it also benefits the author. And hearing about the whole audiobook revolution actually got me interested in turning some of my books into audiobooks. So how exactly do you see authors marketing their audiobooks? Like, what tips specifically do you have?
Right. I mean, the audiobook revolution, to use those words, it really is. Audiobook sales grew 20% in 2014, 20% in 2015, 38% in 2016. Audiobook sales grew. Audible listening is up over 35% this year. It really is a revolution. And the prices of audiobooks are usually much higher. They're closer to your paperback price or even higher than the lower ebook prices. So you can make more per audiobook sale than you can from just the ebook sales. Promoting it, there are several different ways to do it. You get Audible gift codes when you produce an audiobook through Audible, which is also owned by Amazon. They give you 25 gift codes. Well, I recommend you use those codes to buy your book and gift it to people, especially reviewers. It counts as a sale, so you've made money that way. But you also can get reviews, and reviews just in printed books count a lot. People are always looking for well-reviewed books to listen to. There are also, in specific genres, if you do fantasy, horror, adventure, audiobookreviewer.com is a site that specializes in reviewing those kinds of audiobooks. There is a service called Audiobook Boom at audiobookboom.com that weekly sends out audiobooks that people can download in exchange for a review. And it's still okay with Amazon as long as you say you received a free copy of the audiobook in exchange for the review. It's not really a paid review that way. But that's a great place to go to get your audiobooks reviewed. There are many sites on Facebook where you can promote your audiobook. Audiobook free giveaways. Just look in on Facebook under audiobook giveaways or free audiobooks, and you can find them there. Use Twitter as a way of reaching. You know, it certainly helps if you have a fan base and you're not trying to grow your fan base. You have one already of people of your work. But reach everybody and use the audiobook as an opportunity to say, I have a new baby. You know, even though you wrote the book a year ago, do an audiobook and it's new. It's another reason to go out and do a whole new round of promotion. So that is a way of bringing back older books to life. Bring them back as audiobooks. So you can go out and, you know, tell everybody about, you know, your new version of your existing book. You can also sell more of your existing books that way because you've called attention to the fact that that your book is out there again.
Don't get me wrong, I love the whole idea of reading audiobooks and the audiobook revolution, but I feel like when authors consider audiobooks, they've already written the paperback or they've already published their Kindle version. And I'm wondering with the marketing, is there anything different with marketing an audiobook as compared to marketing an ebook or a print book?
Well, the fun thing about audiobooks is that audiobook listeners are voracious. If they listen to audiobooks, they listen to a lot of audiobooks, especially commuters. So you have a much greater chance of reaching audiobook listeners just because we talked about the Western genre. There are 140,000 books in the Western genre on Amazon. There are fewer than 2,000 audiobooks in the Western genre. So you can see how much easier it is if you get rated on Amazon with your audiobook because it's showing up on Audible, iTunes, and also your Amazon page if you go that route. And you will stand out much more in your particular genre and subgenre if you do an audio version rather than just doing, you know, promoting your printed version or your ebook. Audio listeners are, you know, not always the same as the print versions. But Amazon's WhisperSync feature helps people because if they buy an ebook, they get a major discount on the audiobook version. And both of them work together. So if you're reading it on a device and stop and switch to reading the to listening to the audio version, it picks up at the same place and vice versa. WhisperSync, it's synced together. So these are opportunities for audiobooks that exist for selling audiobooks that tie right in to any promotions you do for your printed or ebook versions.
That's pretty awesome. I didn't even think about the low demand, and I am quite the voracious audiobook reader myself. And you said that the books publish on iTunes. Is that something that, like, if you publish on Audible, it automatically goes on iTunes, or is there another step for that?
Well, if you go through Amazon's ACX.com, your book will be on Audible, on iTunes, and show up on your Amazon page. Now, of course, there are many audiobook publishers out there, just as there are book publishers, and you have the superpowers, the Macmillans, the Penguins, that do audiobook versions, usually with, you know, famous actors and actresses, and sound effects and productions and that type of thing, and do the top sellers. So that's one way to go if you're, you know, successful at getting a publisher that way. There are mid-level publishers also, Blackstone, B-Audio, Podium. There are many out there that if you submit your book to them, they will produce your audiobook and put it not just on Audible and iTunes, but, you know, 30 other different retailers, Barnes & Noble, get it into libraries, get it overseas, because there are restrictions if you go strictly through Amazon to U.S. and U.K. sales only. So if you want to go to an international audience, sometimes you have to go through an outside publisher. I use listentoabook.com. I work with them. And we produce books that will show up in libraries that can be sold in Australia that you can make CDs of if you want to, even though CDs are only about 10% of the market these days. It's kind of a dying way of listening to audiobooks, just like books on tape used to be. So there are many different channels you can go to. But you can also self-produce your book by going through ACX.com.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure you've convinced a lot of us, including myself, to get into the audiobook revolution. But I feel like with all this excitement, it's very easy to make mistakes along the way. And I know mistakes are part of learning, but it's good to avoid mistakes when we can. So what is one mistake that you often see when authors try to promote their audiobooks?
When they try to promote them, well, they don't pay attention to first the cover. The cover of the audiobook, just like the cover of your book, has to be compelling, has to look professional. Sure, you can produce it yourself. You can do brain surgery yourself too, but it can be quite a mess. there are times to use a professional. A cover is a great one, not just for your book, but for your audiobook also. And I think the main thing that people don't do is spend any time promoting the audiobook. They just put it out there. And they don't do the things I said. Don't go to those sites, Audiobook Boom, audiobookreviewer.com. Don't spread the word to every fan they have, every person they know through social media that the audiobook is available and here's the link to buy it. Don't use those gift codes that you're given to get reviews, to get people interested and really, you know, find listeners in your genre, and, you know, go to those sites. There are a whole bunch of Facebook sites, for instance, dedicated to science fiction, dedicated to young adult books. dedicated to all kinds of genres. Make sure you go to those sites and let people know about your book. Don't do a hard sell, you know, buy my book, buy my book, buy my book. You know, that doesn't work very well. Talk about your characters. Talk about the plot of your book. Give them a free excerpt. You can put it up on SoundCloud or one of the other audio services and have people listen to a part of your book for free. You know, all of these things you can do to help promote your audio version.
Throughout your journey in the audiobook revolution, you must have learned a lot of lessons along the way that helped you expand your brand, helped you become a better person. I ask you at this moment, what is the best lesson that you have learned on your journey?
Okay, best lesson. I mean, I have learned that authors are wonderful people. I can sit at a table full of authors and talk to a neurologist, a physicist, a nurse, a kindergarten teacher, people from all kinds of places and professions, and they're all creative people and all fascinating people. So the fact that, you know, I'm meeting so many authors has been wonderful. I really enjoy socializing with these people and also have the gift I can give to them of bringing their books to life, of giving them, you know, a different way of reaching their readers, have them become listeners and expand the word, the world of the words that they have written.
So, with that said, I like to end all of my podcast episodes by asking for an awesome inspirational quote that you can think of right now.
Okay. My quote, and I'm cheating because I use it as in my book, The Author's Guide to Audiobook Creation.
Go for it.
And that is, read to your children. Open them up to other worlds at a very young age.
That's powerful. I mean, I feel like storytelling in any form, it just grabs our attention, and telling children at an early age, especially your children, that's going to develop a really strong bond later on.
Yes, it really is critically important. And if you can't read to your children, get them interested in audiobooks. Get them to the library and open up that world of reading to them.
Richard, it's been such a great pleasure to have you on my podcast. And before I end this interview right now, I always like to give the guest an opportunity to promote himself or herself, in this case, you himself. So I'm curious right now, where can we find you on the web?
Okay, I'm at audiobookrevolution.com. I'm Richard at audiobookrevolution.com as my email address. So you can reach me there. And I'm always happy to do a proposal for authors on how much it would take to produce a version of their book in audio. You know, basically, you can start at hundreds of dollars, go all the way up to like $3,000 for an audio book. Is the usual price range, depending on your needs. Or if you pick up a copy of my book, The Author's Guide to Audiobook Revolution, I walk you step by step through how to produce it yourself and get self-published your audiobook with little or no upfront cost at all.
Richard, it's been such an excellent pleasure to have you on the show. You definitely got me hooked into audiobooks, and I'm sure you got several of the other listeners hooked into audiobooks as well.
Thank you, Mark.
I thoroughly enjoyed that interview. I don't know about you, but I have my eyes set on the audiobook revolution. You could expect several audiobooks from me in 2017. Going from writing books to publishing audiobooks is a transition that allows you to tap into the same customer audience and actually expand a little bit because of iTunes and the other places you get published on, but with less competition and a demand that increases every year. Maybe audiobooks will surpass ebook sales someday. I definitely don't want to miss out on this revolution, and I don't think you want to miss out on it either. If you forgot to take notes, then don't worry. We've got you covered with the show notes. Visit markguberti.com/E24 for those. You can ask your questions over there, which I'll be more than happy to answer. To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markguberti.com/iTunes or markguberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. If you like my podcast, then you will definitely love my YouTube channel. Not only do I publish my podcast episodes on YouTube, but I also publish multiple YouTube videos every week in which I answer your questions and provide additional advice. To get more information on that channel and to subscribe to that channel, go to youtube.com/MarkGuberti. This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.